It is the police, a message in a bottle here on BBC Radio Sheffield with Becky Measures in for Paulette. It's just approaching 10 past 11 on Thursday, the 4th of July. Now, an Asian lady who was raped by a relative as a child has spoken out to highlight the hidden sex abuse among black, Asian and minority ethnic groups. Zlaka Ahmed from Rotherham was five when her mum's cousin, who has now passed away, repeatedly abused her over a two-year period.
I didn't know what was happening, but I knew that whatever was happening was something that I'd been told that I had to keep a secret. It was a corner shop that we lived in, and we were in the storeroom, and there was sacks of grains and rice, and he basically dumped me in a sack of grain or rice, whatever it was. So my head and shoulders were showing, and he was doing his belt up, and Mum walked in at that moment. And so it became obvious to her what was going on. We, as a family, never, ever talked about it. If the rest of the family, if the rest of the community find out, they had fears about who would marry me in the future. Because if at the age of five, they then shared with the family or the community what had happened, I would then become stigmatised as a child. And that would follow me all through my life.
Just makes me so sad. The 56-year-old said her parents never talked about the abuse for fear of her bringing shame on the family, as she's just mentioned. The NSPCC says child sexual abuse of children within the BMA communities is a hidden problem and unreported. Well, on the line right now is Eugene Ellis, the director of the Black African and Asian Therapy Network. Ellis, thank you, Eugene, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with us about this.
Yes,
the concern about shame brought on the family, is that something that you recognise from your practice?
Yes. I mean, it happens on several levels. I mean, first of all, it's just that, you know, that something's happened to you and, you know, just the shame of that. And especially a lot of perpetrators would try to say to the victims that it's their fault, that, you know, that they led them on and stuff like that. So there's quite a lot of shame just about that. And then there's another layer of shame which comes through, you know, just sort of being, you know, being a person of colour, really living in the UK, and you know, what that does to your vulnerability. You know, you want to hide that, and you don't want you want to be strong. You know, and you're getting all those messages from society and also from your, within your family, and especially in the Asian community, I think the idea of community is very important, isn't it? And if you're outside of that community, the pain, you know, that you experience is quite intense compared to other communities. So yeah, shame is a big issue which is preventing a lot of this sexual abuse being reported.
It really is. I mean, you can't sort of, I sit here sort of thinking, you know, we're in 2019, how does this still, you know, happen? And you just mentioned there that, you know, sort of like sort of racism in the fact that these people don't say anything because of the colour of their skin.
Well, it's kind of something that's just ingrained in people, I think. You know, over the years, it gets passed on from generation to generation about hiding, you know, hiding your vulnerability, hiding your hurt. And it's kind of, it's just something that people of colour in the Asian community, African community, Caribbean community feel quite strongly about, you know, not talking your business out in the street. And so that's a big pull. I mean, also sexual abuse is quite a... you know, what it is, it's kind of, it's a betrayal of a relationship, isn't it? So, you know, that's another layer of stuff, so which people will obviously recognise. But I think for the BME community or the BAME community, there is that extra layer, I think, which makes it more difficult.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds like, and it's very sad that has to happen. I mean, it's easy as well to sort of criticise the parents here, but in some ways, I suppose, they're trying to protect their child, aren't they? They feel it's better to brush it under the carpet and move on and forget about it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, I think for anyone who is sexually abused and it sort of comes out, and I think that's sort of part of the motivation of people is to protect. But of course, then the hurt goes underground, and then people have to manage that. And you know, there are mental health consequences to pushing it underground, and some people do better than others in that. But whoever it is, it's going to be a struggle, you know, for many, many years.
Of course. Well, Eugene, stay with us. We're going to come back to this in just a moment and sort of get to the bottom of why there needs to be more therapists. This is BBC Radio Sheffield. I'm joined on the phone right now by Eugene Ellis, who is the director of the Black African and Asian Therapy Network, talking about the fact that, lots of the NSPCC saying child abuse within children within the BAME communities is a hidden problem and unreported. More on that in just a minute. This is BBC Radio Sheffield as it approaches 20 past 11, playing Valerie Stevie Winwood. It is Becky Measures in for Paulette today, and we are talking about the problem of hidden abuse within Black, Asian and ethnic minority communities. With me on the line is Eugene Ellis, who's who has set up a group, the Black African and Asian Therapy Network. It's BARTN for short. Now, why did you do that, Eugene?
I mean, there are several reasons. I mean, when I finished my training, there were a group of us who thought that, obviously, if we're going to be counselling people from those communities, from the BAME communities, that, of course, they needed to understand and be able to meet the various hurts that were being brought, you know, it could be sexual abuse or anxiety and those kinds of things. But that counsellors also needed to have an understanding of how mental health or the mental health implications for people of colour due to the sort of limitations put on people by racism. So I think there is a sort of underlying issue that really kind of needs to be understood. And it's thinking about that and trying to process that is quite a lot of hard work, and it's quite specific. And the people who have a counsellor who's done that work really feel met on a slightly different level. And it doesn't really matter who you are to some extent, although if you're a person of colour, you're probably more likely to be able to get there. So we just thought we needed to inform the counselling psychotherapy profession of that need, and also to support people from those communities to be therapists and counsellors for those communities. And so there are about 1,000 of us now, mainly in London, but we're sort of all over the UK, who are trying to support each other, trying to support students in the profession, and also trying to support the profession itself.
So this is obviously something then that needs to grow. Then the research has been done. You know, you've just mentioned there why a black man or a woman who's been abused might find it more helpful to speak to a therapist from a similar ethnic background. We've covered that. So how are we going to develop this? How are things going to change?
I mean, there's the training itself. So, you know, how therapists are trained and what they're trained in, which has been something that we've been trying to support, people who are doing the training to facilitate. So there's something about the training and changing the training to sort of be specific about various oppressions, not just race, but also gender and those LGBT issues. So there's that kind of level really is where it starts. And a lot of trainings are governed by other organisations, so there's obviously some work to be done there too about how those training institutions are governed. But so that's kind of where it kind of really needs to start, and also from the ground up as well, in terms of organisations like BARTN and other organisations sort of doing work which people can kind of copy or get inspired by.
There's a lot to understand, isn't there? There's a lot to sort of take in. It's not, you know, it's not just about what's happened. It is about, like you say, sort of fitting in with how they are in their lives, like their religion, their background, you know, how their parents are, etc. There's so much to take in, isn't there?
Yeah, there is that cultural level as well, particular cultures that we're talking about. So there is that level. As well, so people do need to have an understanding of those cultures and the forces really at work, why people make decisions to not speak, why people do this or why they do that, and then what are the sort of forces. There's a little bit of work to be done around that for counsellors as well, in terms of what you know, what forces people to into certain positions.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job and you're striving this forward, Eugene. So, you know, thank you. If people are listening now and they want to, you know, they do want to speak to somebody like yourself, how do they get involved?
Well, I mean, we do have a website. And there's a lot of information on there. We're trying to put a lot of information so that people can just browse around and see what's there. It's very UK focused as well, and very focused on South Asian communities, Caribbean and African communities in particular. And there's also a directory of counsellors there on the website as well, so people can actually go and see who's available. And then there's a free, you know, where to get free services as well for these communities too on the website. So there's quite a lot of information there. And obviously you can join as a member if you're a counsellor or if you're interested in mental health. For those communities, and there are loads of events that we run that sort of, you know, get people inspired. Really, I think we want to inspire people more than anything, rather than give them a hard time.
Yeah, definitely.
They're doing it wrong. So inspire people to really, you know, see this as valuable and to kind of make a contribution. You know, because it is painful work for counsellors to undertake.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine you're doing an amazing job, Eugene. Thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with us. And it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. That is Eugene Ellis there, who set up the group for the Black African and Asian Therapy Network. It's BARTON for short.